Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Great. A huge name. It's not as far-fetched now that I think about it, given the relationship. It would work.
I don't think it's far-fetched at all. I actually think it makes a lot of sense for what Penny is selling. It's actually a perfect fit. Now, the issue would be, it's one thing to coach a high school team, Brad.
Yeah.
It's another thing to coach your own grassroots team.
Penny's gone through that.
That's got its name on it. It's another thing. See, Penny didn't have this to go and work for someone.
Mm-hmm. Okay? No, you're right. He had his own thing.
So what you would have to – here's the other side of this. Right. Sounds great. Got all the ties. Rashid's Philly. Duren's Philly. Rashid's Larry Brown. Won a championship together in 2004. But the question would then become, because it's always been, you bring in another NBA guy. Okay, what's that chemistry going to be like, right, number one, with Penny? And in this case, this would be an NBA guy that I assume has an eye toward eventually being a head coach.
Yeah.
He going to be cool with doing assistant coach grinder work?
Mm-hmm.
Because that ultimately – you're Rashid Wallace. You got a name. You're a four-time All-Star. But there are going to be days where you're doing grinder work.
Yes.
And that grind will be more than just a few hours. It'll be up to Penny to determine how long. You know what I'm saying?
I totally know what you're saying.
Penny Hardaway says practice goes from 3 to 7 today. Rashid Wallace going to have to be cool with being in practice from 3 to 7.
Right.
When you were a former, All-Star, sometimes that kind of life, Brad, can take some getting used to. But if he is down with that, and again, that's a transition. That, it's one thing to say you are. It's another thing when you get put in that position. You're answering to Penny. You're working again. Let's be real. Rashid Wallace doesn't have to work.
No.
You wouldn't think.
No.
I mean, from everything we see, he's taking care of stuff. Can be a guy who follows after, much like Penny.
Larry. Okay, Larry didn't have to work.
Yeah, I can coach high school. Yeah. I don't need the money.
All right.
Right. Got it. That's going to be the thing when it comes to Rashid Wallace, if this indeed goes through. Is does he really want it? You can say you want it as one of those former NBA guys that's had every, what I'm saying?
Is there any?
Do you really want the worst that comes with it?
Devil's advocate for a second, because we seem to have a revolving door with some of the third chair or the second chair. Tony was here for the majority. He was here the whole time from Penny's tenure.
Correct.
He was the most stable, and he left to go to South Carolina State with his son. That makes sense because of the arrangement there. My question is, I think Sheed's a huge name. Is there any downside? What am I missing? The other question is, why does it keep this third assistant it's sort of like the change-up chair?
Well, it's been for a number of reasons. I mean, you got to throw in, Madlock gets an opportunity to go coach his son. That was gonna happen. And then you've got the opportunity now. I mean,
and Mike was the same in a sense because he was leaving. He
Mike
was going to do different
on,
things.
Brother. And you're not gonna hold people here against their will.
No,
what
I get
I'm
it.
Saying?
Yeah.
Like that.
No,
that's part
you
of
can't.
It.
They can't just have to stay.
I
get you.
You could look at this thing from if you weren't paying any attention and say, well, there's been some turnover on the staff, and does that represent a problem? And there have been staffs where that is an issue. I don't believe it's one here.
Okay.
Especially when you're adding in guys the caliber of Larry Brown. You talk about that third spot. Did not having Nolan Smith or whoever, having a Jermaine Johnson in that spot, how much did it cost him?
Not much, it doesn't seem, in terms of recruiting.
Dude, you beat Houston in one of those one-possession games, you were in there.
Yeah.
Hell, Penny was quoting Jermaine Johnson by the end of the season. But my point is, what are you essentially getting out of that third position anyway, especially when you have Larry Brown and Cody Toppard in the first two? So if you can actually, that's my hope. They weren't, not much.
Right.
I mean, Jermaine, good coach, high school level, that. Great quote.
Right.
But tell me this isn't an upgrade from that. Rashid Wallace.
It's an upgrade.
Four-time, can coach your big.
And they're all good coaches. I'm not trying to disparage anybody, but that's a new level.
So to your question about what could be the drawbacks, well, experience is one. He doesn't have the college experience, but at some point someone's going to give him that chance, you figure, especially with this being something he wants to do. So I don't see many because, again, it's almost, you already got Larry and Cody Toppard. Hell, you could run the season right now with just two assistants.
Yeah.
But having that only improves and adds to what you have, but it especially adds to that NBA pitch that you've got for Jalen Duren and other guys that, hey, man, we aren't just, you know, a point guard and a former NBA champion coach. We got a big man coach here who was a four-time NBA All-Star, can help you refine your skills, polish your skills off in that area as well.
Yeah.
I think for Memphis, it just sort of adds to the attraction in terms of what you'd want to be a part of if you're one of these prospects where the goal is get to the NBA. That's an NBA-like staff right there.
Sure.
With Larry, it already is with Larry Brown, Cody Toppert having been in the NBA already. Could be even more so if with that third spot you make it a Rasheed Wallace, which is, according to the streets, it feels like it's...
Feeling like it could be...
At one point a couple weeks ago, you hear the name, okay. But now it's all sorting to, seems to still be lining up.
Dude, I'm down with it. You get Rasheed Wallace in here, it seems like it'd help your recruiting. I mean, I'm down. Get it. Come on.
I think Rasheed Wallace would be a great addition to that Memphis staff if Penny Hardaway can get it done. Sounds like that's who he has zeroed in on. We're all interested to see who the Memphis Grizzlies have zeroed in on at number 10, or whether it's whether they're so hot and heavy on a guy that they're willing to trade a ton to move up to number 3 or even higher. We'll see what happens tonight. NBA draft coming up. It is a big night for the Memphis Grizzlies. You traded Jonas Valanciunas. Fans want something good and should. When you trade away a contributor, someone as productive as Jonas Valanciunas is, you did it to move up from 17 to 10. Now it's time to see how good a piece you can get. You figure it's a much better one than you could have gotten at 17. Excited to see what the Grizzlies do tonight. We're going to talk to Joe Mullinax about it at 125. Do that. Ask him, you know, do we rule out moving back? I'm not sure that we can. If the Grizzlies guy in there at 10, I wonder, could you then move back? Could see a move up, could see a move back, could see a stand pat. We'll ask Joe Mullinax about that at 125. That and much more when we get back. You're listening to J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We will continue our NBA draft conversation in a few minutes with Joe Mullinax from GrizzlyBearBlues.com. If you haven't checked out his primer before we talk to him, you should. It'll get you ready. He's got four predictions for tonight as well. It's over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. In terms of what the Grizzlies will do tonight, got predictions. Got guys he likes. We'll do that at 125. But before we do, the other big story we've been talking about today, the story that Dennis Dodd wrote, and we've been discussing it a lot from the football side about the possibility of the AAC with ESPN helping. At least Bob Bowlesby thinks, though, the commissioner of the Big 12. The possibility of the AAC eating up the Big 12. And forming what would be essentially a 20-team super league, super conference, whatever words you want to use on that, I think it would be when you've got that many teams and that many teams of this sort of quality, and you would have 19, if I'm not mistaken, have got my math right, because you've got 11 basketball-playing members in the AAC and you've got 11 football-playing members in the AAC. You're adding 8, and so what you would have essentially is 19 on both sides. It's 20 total. Wichita State does not play football, though. And Navy does not play basketball.
You know what you could do? You could actually add another addition who does both, and then you're even 20 all across the board, basketball and football, right? Was that how it would work? Since you're alternating one in, one out?
I'm not sure if that would be the priority for the American at that point or not. I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, you know, the talks about Boise State and others. You wonder if the AAC would be done at that point, or if you would look to sort of try to even it out.
Yeah.
That would be one of the questions. We've talked a lot about the football side of this and what that would represent, what you're bringing over.
Yeah.
Sure, something with a lot less value than what it had when it was Oklahoma and with Texas, but surely still something that, if added, would present a larger value in terms of you as a whole added to what you have at the AAC than what you do if you're that conference on its own and trying to pick off one or two of them, Brad, or trying to go after a Boise State. Seems to me like you would have more value in adding that entire rest of it, the 8 other teams in the Big 12, bringing them over. We've talked about that from the football side. And the other part of it is, it's not just you hope it's more value. ESPN seems to be telling you, we're going to pay you if you can get this done. We know there's incentive there for ESPN. They want the Big 12 to blow up so they don't have to pay the $1 billion they owe them over the next 4 years. Now, that's football, and football is driving this all with its big money media rights deals. But we talked about it a little bit, touched on a little bit, about how exciting it would be on the basketball side of things for this conference. Who do you consider right now the best conference in the land?
In basketball? In basketball, it's the SEC.
Do we still say it's the ACC? Is it the SEC? I was thought you were going to say ACC.
It's not the ACC anymore. It's the SEC, because you've got all those teams. Kentucky is in there. Tennessee is very good.
I don't think I'll roll.
Tennessee's been a top 10 team pretty much across the board.
Since Barnes has been there.
Yeah, you got Kentucky. You've got Alabama. You've got Auburn. You know? I mean, there's good teams. Arkansas, where Moody's coming from. That was a Sweet 16 team this past year. Mizzou is in the SEC now. Vandy, it used to be good at basketball. They're trying to get back there with Stack. But I would say, you know, the reason why I say the SEC is because
it's interesting that, yeah, I don't
ACC is the one you would automatically used to say because you'd go for that North Carolina Duke thing. But now, like, Georgia Tech is, like, doing something in that conference. Obviously, Kentucky's big.
I would Big 10, Big 12. I still got to put them above the SEC.
Kentucky, by the way, SEC. So, I mean, Kentucky obviously is right there with Duke.
I'm going to disagree with you that I'd have SEC there at the top. I still think Big 10, Big 12. Obviously, you had Kansas. You had Baylor, the national champion there last year. And then, if you look over at KenPom in terms of the rankings last year of the conferences, you are right that the SEC was better than the ACC technically from a rating standpoint. Mm-hmm. But SEC was still fourth behind the Big Ten last year, Big 12.
21 Pac-12. RPI was Big 12, believe it or not. And the RPI, this is teamrankings.com. I'm looking at RPI 2021. Mm-hmm. Big 12, Big 10, Pac 12. So exactly. I was wrong on all three.
But listen,
SEC four.
Because I think many still hold up the ACC as the best, and by a rating standpoint, it clearly isn't. I think where you're right is that the SEC probably has passed the ACC, at least in some ratings. Now, I don't know, brand, tradition, all that, I don't think you have. But the point, Big 10, Big 12, all better positioned right now in terms of better basketball leagues. Imagine adding that, Kansas, Baylor, those brands from a basketball standpoint to what you have in the ACC, the AAC.
Well, the Big 12 and the AAC in the American would be amazing in basketball. It would, by far and away, it would be the most dominant basketball. It wouldn't be even close.
I think it puts you right there with the Big 10, which last year was number one. I think adding those schools from the Big 12 to what you have already.
Oh, yeah.
And remember, you had a Final Four team last year in Houston. I've told you that losing UConn was a blow. And so you could use the kick in the butt. But the quality that you have up top, real quality.
Your top and your middle. Your top and your middle are better than Big Ten because you got Purdue has been down and you've had Indiana down. Like in general. Now, again, Ohio State been great. Michigan been great. But no, man. Like
it would
be
up there with the best
basketball
conference, conference in the country, right up there to me with the Big Ten.
Yes.
To me.
Houston, Baylor, Memphis. Yes.
And we talked about what some of those matchups might look like. And by the way,
Kansas
pairings came out for Memphis. We'll do that a little bit later on this hour for the AAC pairings, all that kind of
stuff.
Oh, yeah,
the conference
matchups
league.
Got me thinking about that. Yeah. We'll get into who Memphis only plays one time. But listen to this. Kansas-Memphis. All right, there's already sort of a natural rivalry anywhere. Kansas might not feel that way, but I know we do here. Houston-Baylor matchup in basketball. Both were Final Four teams last year. West Virginia. And listen, Houston will continue to remain relevant as long as Kelvin Sampson is there.
Sure.
And that feels like it's going to be for a while until he hands the thing off to his son. West Virginia-Cincinnati, like we mentioned, you'd have Bob Huggins going back to Cincy. Tulsa-Oklahoma State, you've got a natural rivalry there with the state. SMU-Texas Tech. Like from a basketball,
Tulsa would love this.
From a basketball standpoint, it is exciting in terms of what it would represent you adding the Big 12. And again, the rest of the Big 12, put it that way. And again, it's one thing to think of it, oh, Jason, that's a pipe dream to be able to add the rest of it, whatever else. It's one thing to sort of envision it and it not have anything behind it. It just sort of be a pipe dream. It's another thing when you've perhaps potentially, apparently, reportedly have got a powerhouse pushing it in ESPN behind it. And why? Like we talked about, Jeffrey Wright broke this down. You see Brett McMurphy has tweeted about it. ESPN wants out of what they're going to owe the Big 12 because it ain't worth it anymore. What they owe them through the rest of 2025 with Texas and Oklahoma no longer involved is like the house you paid $200,000 for, and now the damn thing's only worth $85,000. Probably less than that. Imagine it being worth less than that and you pay $200,000 for it. You want to get the hell away. Hell, I had one I was underwater on. You want to get the heck away from that house. You'll do whatever you can. And if it means submarining something, in this case it would be submarining the Big 12 and its chance to exist to get out of that payment, $1 billion over the next, through 2025, then you're going to do everything in your power to get out from underwater on it, to get out from having that thing be worth a ton less than what you paid. And that's what ESPN is doing. What would be more worthwhile to them is throwing the AAC a little bit more, more than they're giving now, and having that Big 12 come over. You've got a powerhouse that has got an incentive to do it, that wants to do it. And I just think in the presentation to those big Big 12 schools like Kansas or whatever else, if you're ESPN,
sure,
this is better for you.
Yeah, the only
being
thing
with the AAC is better for you. I don't see the draw. I don't see the cons.
The only thing I think about in the back of my mind is I hope that these schools, first of all, stay together. I really like Oresco now. Like, Oresco's looking like a genius. If you just can hold everybody to this sort of this American alliance, in that the Central Floridas of the world and the Cincinnati's of the world.
Well, they stay if you add this, right?
They do stay. And because you're staying as a conference because of your TV deal with ESPN and you're pulling in the Big 12.
The worry was initially from Pete Thamel and others was that the Big 12 would be able to stay intact.
Poach the opposite
that it
way.
It would be the one poaching.
And that's a logical thought, by the way, because you think, oh, the Big 12.
But
what we didn't think about
was
ESPN
picking sides.
And that's
exactly
why this is why you see immediately. That's why yesterday was so important, right? Because you see that report. And they're kind of tipping their hand when they're sending out lawyers and they're sending out these documents and these memos saying, basically, ESPN, please stop tampering. Well, this is the way of the world, man. This is welcome to capitalism.
You would
like,
we've been like we said, football is driving this, but right. This we've used this to talk about the basketball side of things. You'd be adding 8 schools that includes a national champion Baylor program. Kansas, who we know with Bill Self, hell, even with the weight of the, you got the NCAA all over them, you know, as long as they've got Bill Self, they're going to be a factor. They throw a middle finger to the NCAA and seem to get away with it.
Yeah.
They're there. And then 3 other programs, West Virginia, Texas Tech, and Oklahoma State, that were all top 35 last year over at KenPom. That's without Texas and that's without Oklahoma. That's 5 programs in the top 35 of KenPom, including the national champion.
It's terrific for basketball.
This basketball league would be amazing.
It's dominant.
The football league, the football would obviously be better than what the AAC is now, but the basketball league would I think rival just about anything in the country.
I think the thing you've pointed out, I think this is the regional cachet for football is really good. Tulsa, Oklahoma would be a dream for Tulsa. Memphis basically playing any of these Texas schools like Baylor or TCU. Like a Memphis TCU, you talk about getting your fans excited on the football side. I know we talk about basketball, but I do think it ups the value for
ESPN.
It still
ups it in football, too.
It ups it in football. It does both.
It's worth it to ESPN.
And the volume of teams, too, because you got 20 teams as opposed to 8.
This is better for you. And I'll tell you what, you'll pay a lot less for it probably than the $1 billion you owe the Big 12 over the next 4 years.
Right. And the Big 12 schools get something.
Damn thing.
And they get something rather than just man for yourself.
They get to recoup some of that money.
Right.
Now, Bowlesby's trying to get him angry and saying, oh, ESPN's trying to blow us up. They're trying to blow. But this is going to be better than anything the Big 12, it feels like, can do on its own. This will be better for you than the Big 12 poaching Cincinnati or one or two of the best AAC schools.
Right.
And not to mention, ESPN is not, they're going to tell you they don't want that.
No.
They're not going to work with you on that in terms of trying to
We don't need a patchwork Big 12. We would like more of a big super conference rather than that.
The problem is the folks that are paying the money want something different now. That's the problem for the Big 12. They want you to blow up.
It makes sense.
So they can get out
it's
from
exciting.
Under the deal.
Listen, I've flipped
so
now
I'm not
today.
Sure you can get out of
Are
it.
You excited? I mean, I've totally flipped my mood on this from Memphis perspective.
I'm excited about it if this is the way it goes down.
God, I hope it does. It just feels too good to be true.
Because this would be the golden ticket. This would be you finding that golden ticket in that Willy Wonka, in that Wonka bar. This would be it. This would be Laird Veach and David Rudd finally finding.
The golden carrot finally arrived.
Finally finding the golden ticket.
Yeah, you're right.
And your way into being one of the haves. Because there is no way with an AAC that you got right now combined with the 8 teams left in the Big 12 that is not a super conference of some sort.
No.
No, it's not the SEC, but you would have to be dealt with. And that would make you one of the haves. That's your ticket in. And it's the way to go, and it completely changes for me, and I think for many of you, the conversation surrounding what might happen now with Oklahoma and with Texas headed over to the SEC, what could be left, could be great things. We're going to talk about what are hopefully great things tonight for the Memphis Grizzlies. We're going to do it with Joe Mullinax. He's the site manager of SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues. You got to check out his primer over on grizzlybearblues.com. We're going to talk to him about what the Grizzlies should do, who's his guy at 10, and we'll even talk about what the Grizzlies should do at 40 if they stay there. We'll do that when we get back. You're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station. Sports station.
92.9 ESPN from Odyssey.
Joe Mullinax is site manager in SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues. He's host of the Grizzly Bear Blues Live on SB Nation Podcast Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe Mullinax. He's got his Memphis Grizzlies draft primer. It's posted right now at grizzlybearblues.com. Includes four predictions for tonight's draft. I've retweeted it. You should read it. He joins us now. Okay, Joe, we'll start here. Moving up, standing pat or trading back? Because maybe their guy isn't there at 10. Which do you think is most likely tonight in the NBA draft for the Grizzlies?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on, buddy.
Pleasure.
I appreciate being back on with you and being back on 92.9. I think the most likely outcome is that they stand pat, because that's kind of the simplest thing, right? The Occam's razor idea. The most likely outcome is the simplest one. But if I had to choose something that hasn't happened yet, if I had to make a prediction on that front, I would go that they're going to trade up, because it's possible that, you know, they see that Franz Wagner is going to be gone by the time they pick at 10, or Josh Giddey is going to be gone by the time they pick at 10. I think they have a list of guys. They have four or five players. If they really wanted somebody in particular, they would have gone up higher, in my opinion. I think they would have targeted the Warriors pick at 7, even OKC at 6. I don't know if that would have been on the table for them. But my point is, they would have gone up a little bit higher than 10 if they had someone particular in mind. I think they have a group of, and I believe Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian in his piece kind of listed five names that make a lot of sense. We already mentioned two of them, but you got Jinx Bonite, you've got Moses Moody. You know, there are guys in that range that could be there at 10 that I think they'd be happy with any number of them. If something unforeseen happens, Kuminga from the G League, if he falls for some reason, you know, he arguably has one of the highest ceilings in this draft, pretty low floor potentially. But he could be a superstar in terms of his athleticism and ability. If they want to take their swing and try to go get that guy, then maybe they trade up to 7 or 8 from 10. Obviously, they have the three first-round picks in 2022 now. They're probably not going to make all those selections. They've got extra picks in 2024 with the Warriors picking their own. They've got expiring contracts in Tyus Jones, Kyle Anderson. They trade away Jonas Valanciunas, who was arguably their best player last year, if you base it off of a lot of statistical data. So I don't think that they're married to the idea of anybody being on this roster except for maybe Jaren and definitely Ja. So it makes them in a position to really be flexible in terms of what they want to do to get to where they want to be, if that makes sense.
If it makes all the sense in the world. Let's say they stand pat. Let's say they stay at 10. And just with the way you think things are going to shake out, there's no book night, or maybe, you know, maybe even a Moses Moody comes off right beforehand. What do you think they do there? What, in terms of your guy, you're staying at 10, and in terms of a guy you think is going to be there, what would a nice fit be?
Well, you're hoping for the rumors of the Orlando Magic at 8, for some reason picking Zaire Williams, who, you know, that's a guy that could be had later on in the draft.
No question.
The wing from Stanford. Yep. If that does indeed come to pass, then that all but guarantees one of those guys certainly being there, and you don't have to do anything.
Yep.
As far as the guy, if they stay at 10, as I wrote in the piece over at grizzlybearblues.com, I'm on two guys. I like Franz Wagner from Michigan, and I like Giddey from Australia. And neither of them are perfect, right? I think that's important to point out. It's not like you're getting a Jalen Green at that spot or an Evan Mobley. You know, the top three or four in this draft are there for a reason. So they're not going to be the super sexy, trendy, this is a guy who's going to be that third superstar next to John Jaren. But especially in the case of Wagner, he has a skill set. He's 6'11", or at least he says he's 6'11". He's at least 6'10". He can defend very well.
Yes.
He's malleable in terms of what he can do rotationally. He can play multiple defensive positions. He can do multiple things offensively. You'd like to see him create off the dribble for himself a little bit more. You'd like to see his three-point percentage be a little bit higher, but I think that was more anomaly than anything at Michigan. If you watch his shooting stroke, it's really not that rigid. I like Wagner the best of those two options. Giddey would be a solid 1B. I really like how he creates as a playmaker. You know, that level of passing ability, especially letting Ja be off the ball more and be more of a scorer. He has the frame and the size that he doesn't have to play the point, even though that was what he was this past season almost exclusively. He could be a 2. He could be a 3. Again, if we're talking positionless basketball, Giddey fills that void pretty well. And they both kind of serve as the mortar between the two cornerstones, if that makes sense. If Ja and Jaren are your cornerstones, these guys are more like the glue. They're the cement that help fill the voids in their games and help kind of propel those two to greater heights. So those would be my two guys, Giddey or Wagner. I'd be happy with either of those if they stay at 10. If they move up to 8 or something like that, Moody's on the board, then the conversation changes.
What about, I'm with you completely on Wagner, and I've talked myself into it, and particularly for the reasons that you just laid out. Like defensively, he's got it there. You think of, you know, the shooting stroke, all that looks like it can be legit. The one on Giddey, though, and I'll be real honest with you, he's the one guy Brad and I are both saying, oh, no, he scares me the most, is because I'm with you that you can play Ja off the ball with Giddey as a great playmaker sort of handling things, and that sounds great. And I love the idea of developing that part of Ja's game. But what happens when the ball's in Ja's hands? What is Giddey doing at that point? How confident are you that the shot and the defense for him, and I realize he's one of the younger prospects in this draft, are going to come around, those other things? I like the playmaking, but how confident are you on those other things in terms of defense and the shot-making for him? The shooting.
I think that you're betting on your coaching staff at that point, because you make fair points. I don't disagree with anything you just said regarding his shooting, and that can be hit or miss too, right? Brandon Clark is a great example. Whoever Brandon Clark's shooting coach has been on some weeks he looks brilliant, and on other weeks he looks like he completely forgot how to shoot a basketball.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a fair concern to have. I like Giddey because I think he checks those Grizzlies standard boxes, you know. And Davion Mitchell of Butler. Baylor, excuse me,
yes.
Is another example of a guy that checks those boxes in terms of high basketball IQ, understands the game, understands passing lanes, is able to get into the lanes of the defense and force mistakes on defensive rotations, get to the bucket. I like having that ability, that skill set, that mind that can kind of process things that quickly. You see that with Giddey. I mentioned Mitchell from Baylor. If he's there, he's undersized, but I love Mitchell. I think he's somebody that really checks a lot of those Grizzly standard boxes too. But I think because of, not necessarily need, when you look at the Grizzlies roster, they need guys that can create off the dribble and score for themselves.
Yep.
And they need guys that are bigger that can compensate for Ja Morant's very clear defensive deficiencies at this time. It's possible Ja improves as a defender. In fact, I would say it's probable. But right now, Ja is not very good defensively. So if you have a wing like Wagner or a wing like Giddey who are long, who are, you know, are able to play those passing lanes and help compensate for some of those shortcomings, it enables Ja Morant to be even more impactful on the offensive end, where obviously he's already pretty important.
You made this point in your primer, and I tend to agree. If the Grizzlies were to move up to three with Cleveland or whoever, if you're going to jump up that high, it the price would have to include Jaren, wouldn't it? If you're one of those teams, can you move up there without giving up Jaren? And if you had to, Joe, the right answer to that, even if it's three to get Mobley, is no, right? At least that's where we're at today. There's some things I do in terms of, I'm not saying Jaren's untradeable, but I'm not sure I'd be, it'd be the idea of having him with Mobley that would excite me and making whatever deal it took to get me up there where I kept Jaren. What about you? Do you feel the same way? I mean, is it worth trading Jaren to get up to three to get Mobley or whoever?
I think that I would lead off with Cleveland at three and try to do everything I could. You know, the three extra firsts that they've acquired. So, again, that's the Jazz 2022 first. That's the Lakers 2022 first.
Yep.
From the Valanciunas trade. And then the Golden State pick in 2024, which, to be honest with you, is almost certainly the most valuable of all
it
three
is.
Of those.
Yes, yes.
Golden State could very easily be pretty bad when that draft comes along, given how they're going to be going all in to try to maximize Steph, as well they should. I'm not saying they're wrong, but there will be a rebuild coming, and it may be around that draft.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I'd start with those, including the Golden State pick,
absolutely,
instead of Jaren. And I would try to see if, you know, hey, we'll take on Kevin Love for you. Hey, we'll give you Kyle Anderson and Tyus Jones. Look at all these expiring contracts,
absolutely,
we're giving. I would lead with that first and see if that entices them. I would even add a fourth pick of our own, maybe a 2023 protected one, before I'd include Jaren. And here's why. If you're going up to get Mobley, and I think that, you know, we talk about unicorns, and Jaren is a unicorn. I've written about that pretty consistently. There is only one Jaren Jackson Jr. in the NBA right now. He's the only guy that has the potential and the capacity to do what he does. Evan Mobley's in that same conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So to have two of those dudes, you know, I think I saw in an article, and as I was doing my own research for the draft, I thought similar players. I didn't think exactly Bosch, but somebody compared Mobley to Chris Bosch offensively, and I believe Anthony Davis defensively. That's an NBA superstar. Like, that's literally an NBA superstar right there.
Yeah.
And you bring him in next to Jaren, next to Ja, there's your big three. And it's not perfect because you don't have that wing creator off the dribble. You still have work to do. But that's a pretty formidable threesome that you're going to have contract control. You can match deals in restricted free agency. This front office has shown the capacity to construct deals in free agency and in re-signing guys that match their worth, first and foremost, at least in terms of the market. And then even before that, allows for them to be flexible in their cap sheet. So Memphis, who's never, or almost certainly never, going to operate in the luxury tax, you've got your three guys that are all young, that can grow up together, establish that Grizzly standard over the next 6 or 7 years before all three of them are maxed out. And then when you're hopefully contending for championships, you'll have pieces in place that can play alongside those guys as the role players, with them being your three stars.
Makes sense to me. We're talking to Joe Mullinax here on J&J. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe Mullinax. Read his stuff at Grizzly Bear Blues right now. GrizzlyBearBlues.com. His draft preview is up right now. Go check it out. All right, let's go with your scenario, and that you've gotten either Wagner or Giddey at 10. What do you do if you've gotten one of those two? What are you doing at 40 if you're the Grizzlies?
I'm trading 40, and as I wrote in my preview, I'm making another trade. I'm trading 40, and I'm tossing out Tyus Jones to all those contenders at the end of the first round. And before Grizzlies Twitter, as they tend to do, as you guys know, before Grizzly Twitter rips me apart,
yep.
The logic behind that is Tyus Jones played roughly 10 minutes a game in the play-in and the playoffs, okay? Roughly 10 minutes a game. There were a couple games, especially in the blowout, where he played more, and that even that made it look like he played more than he even did. That's not to disrespect Tyus. His assist-to-turnover ratio is elite. I think he's going to get at least the same money in his next contract, if not a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying that if Ja Morant is your superstar, and I think most folks will agree he is the superstar for the Grizzlies, at least at this point, barring some unforeseen major trade, then Tyus Jones, who doesn't sit cleanly next to Ja,
right.
he's not
right.
going to play more than 10 to 12 minutes a game if Ja's playing 34 to 36.
This is true.
So are you really going to keep this guy around long-term and pay him the money he deserves? He deserves $8 to $10 million a year. Is that what you pay your backup point guard as Ja becomes maxed out in the next couple of years? Jaren gets a contract extension. I don't think that's good use of your funds. So I would lure Tyus, put him out there for somebody, have anybody that wants him,
like in the
Brooklyn Nets, maybe the Utah Jazz, if they want to move on from Mike Conley, you know, see if you can get something going there to move up into the end of the first round, and that puts you in a position to draft a Josh Christopher from Arizona State. We've seen the connections. Ja Morant obviously signs off on him. The connection with Tayshaun Prince. He's worked out for the Grizzlies. We reported that over at GBB. There's a lot of things that make sense with that particular fit. And he's a guy that could spend a lot of his time in the G League with the Memphis Hustle this coming season and find his footing as a scorer, because he has that physical potential and ability to be that creator off the dribble that you're searching for, and you can get him later in the draft. And you don't need him at this moment. The Grizzlies are still going to be a play-in contender whether they take a contributor at 27 or not, especially if they hit the right pick, Wagner or Giddey, you know, if they move up for Moody.
Yep.
Nothing really has changed in terms of their trajectory. They're a 7-10 team in the Western Conference even after the Valanciunas trade. They can go get Christopher and let him develop and see what he is over the next couple of years. They don't have to rush him along into an NBA role.
No, I like your plan. I really like your plan with Tyus there and flipping that and turning it into something. And you're right, at this point now, his future here, just why? You've got your guy, your point guard, and Ja Morant. There's no question about it. And Tyus, like you said, he deserves it at this point. Deserves to be somewhere else where he can be more of a contributor. Last thing I got for you, Joe, and appreciate your time. If we are to believe Chris Haynes, right, who said that Eric Bledsoe's not going to be here, it's just going to be sort of how's that going to happen, Joe? How do you envision that? How do they get off of his contract? What does that look like in terms of separating yourself from that part of the New Orleans and Memphis deal?
Well, one of the beautiful things about the fact that trade can't actually happen until the new league year starts, right?
They
can't transfer until August 6th anyway.
That's what I thought. Okay.
That two-team trade, the number 10 pick is going to be made by New Orleans tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be made by the Grizzlies. We know that it's going to be made by the Grizzlies, and obviously it is going to be a Grizzlies pick eventually. But it's one of those weird nights where they're going to be wearing a different hat
right.
and all that stuff.
Right.
You can make it a three-team trade relatively simply. And I think that could be where you see Memphis move up beyond number 10. Maybe there's a different exchange of picks. They get to 7 with the Warriors. They get to 8 with the Magic. 9 with the Kings.
Mm.
That's how they get their man that they really want if they decide there is a certain player they really want. And I foresee Bledsoe potentially being part of that. You know, and again, it wouldn't necessarily be, oh, Bledsoe was a Grizzly. It could just be re-finangled into, now Bledsoe is going to go be this player with Golden State, or this player with the Lakers,
right.
or this player with, you know, the Orlando Magic, insert team three here, and he can decide from there. Well, if it's Golden State, I'm guessing Eric Bledsoe is probably going to want to stick around. If it's a team that's like Orlando or Sacramento, maybe they're in a similar boat, but they're sweetening the pot with a pick, a young player, to try to get the Kings or the Magic to bite. I don't see them waiving Bledsoe like they've done for Deion Waiters and people like that. I think that this trade will expand instead of it being a separate transaction. I could see it becoming a three-team kind of deal.
I could see that. And so if you do that and you've moved on from Tyus, you've flipped him, what do you do? Go do you go get a free agent point guard, somebody
Absolutely.
Cheap? Yeah. Is that the way to go?
I would go find a veteran point guard, somebody that can mentor Ja, plays well alongside him for 10 to 12 minutes. Again, Giddey technically is a point guard. So if you drafted him, Giddey could run that unit.
That's true.
There's ways that you could work around it if you go in that direction. But especially if Wagner is the pick, Wagner would be my selection if he's there at 10.
Yep.
Then you go get a veteran point guard in free agency, and you have them run the point for, you know, the 12 minutes or so a game, preferably somebody that can play alongside Ja so he can have a little bit larger of a role. Maybe you use that mid-level exception to bring in that level of a player.
Joe, love your stuff and appreciate your time, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good draft night.
It's a pleasure. Joe. You too. He is Joe Mullinax, site manager of SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues. He's host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. It's on the SB Nation Podcast Network. You can follow him, like we said, on Twitter at Joe Mullinax. Read him at grizzlybearblues.com. Like we said, he's got up that draft primer right now. We'll get you ready for tonight, including four predictions, some of which he said, I love. Like I said, he's been one of the reasons why I've come around on Wagner, him and some others, Gavoni as well, who's super high on Franz Wagner. He's been one of the reasons I've come around on him. I will say this. He didn't convince me on Giddey.
No. You and I are in lockstep on this, and I'm same with Wagner. I can deal with Wagner, the size and the shooting. I ain't getting Giddey about Giddey.
I can see it from a standpoint that he said that, okay,
when they're going to draft that kid. I'm almost convinced that's the way it's going to go. But
when if he's there, you just feel like he's not going to fall below.
That's what everybody's saying.
But okay, see the idea, and this is good, of Ja Morant being off the ball with the ball in Giddey's hands, and Giddey becomes a playmaker. Ja Morant working on that shot. Okay, I can see that. But what happens when Giddey's got to do something, right? When Ja's the prime, how's he going to be out there?
Don't you
sort of make him a second unit type player if he can't play with Ja as a secondary guy, right? Because he can't shoot. That's my whole thing there, is that it's just not enough boxes for me. That said, you know, literally everybody for the last 3 hours has been telling me how special this kid is, and what you watch it. We'll be talking about him tomorrow, talking ourselves into it. Joe,
we're
going
to be trying to convince ourselves.
I told you, Josh Giddey. So we'll see if he ends up right. I'll be a little disappointed if so. I'll be a little bit disappointed if so. We're going to wrap it all up when we get back. AAC has put out its conference pairings this year. Remember, we're going back to Memphis basketball, not playing every team in the conference. You're going to play 18 games. So it's eight teams you play twice, and then two more you'll play one apiece. We'll tell you who those teams are. Talk about that Memphis basketball schedule when we get back. It's draft night. You can hear it all right here on ESPN 92.9. 6 o'clock, right, Brad Carson?
That's it. We got the start of it at 6.
Tips off at 6 p.m. Listen to it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. We'll be right back. You're listening to J&J, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Earlier today, the American Athletic Conference announced its men's basketball league schedule pairings for 2021-22. Y'all remember that, right? It's when you play an 18-game league schedule. Eight of the teams you play twice, and then there are two teams that you play just once. And for Memphis, the teams you play twice are UCF, Cincy, ECU, Houston. So Cincy and Houston, the two important ones.
That's good.
SMU, Tulane, Tulsa. You get Wichita State twice as well. The teams you'll only play one time as a part of that 18-game league schedule for Memphis basketball. Temple, you'll play them at home, no away game there. And then USF, you will play just one time, and that game will be on the road. The always important thing about these is hoping that you get two cracks against what you expect to be the best teams that year.
So that Houston two is brilliant.
So the Houston two are important. I think Cincinnati, eventually Westmill, they should be decent. Yeah. Wichita State, obviously going to get the two against those.
Gets that RPI up.
Those are important for Memphis. They get the RPI game up.
Gotcha.
You want the important opportunities if you can get them against the best teams. So that's going to be good for Memphis. It was good for us today, these 3 hours. We thank Brian Scalabrine, of course. Thanks to the great Joe Mullinax from over at Grizzly Bear Blues. Gary Parrish going to have on Dennis Dodd, the man who wrote the story, that 425, Brett?
Yes, sir.
The man who wrote the story about the AAC maybe absorbing the Big 12 or what's left of it that we talk so much about today. That'll be at 425. Getting you ready for Giannotto and Jeffrey. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're gone.
This is Memphis' sports station with a legacy of sports in the Mid-South. The flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers Talk. 92.9 FM ESPN and Odyssey Station.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.